Well, good morning. I'd like to give you all a very, very warm welcome to our service this morning, whether you're here or if you're online. Great to have you with us. Welcome to our service. Over the past few months, we've given some very warm welcomes to some special guests as we've had visitors come who have come to speak for us. And this morning, I get to give a very special welcome to our own pastor, who is back. We're so thankful to have you back, John, from your sabbatical. We've missed you, and we're looking forward to having you with us again and preaching for us. So John's going to be preaching for us this morning. And then just a reminder that we've got communion this afternoon for those who are baptised believers and following Jesus. That's at 3. And then, God willing, I'm preaching this evening at 6:30. Well, we're going to sing a couple of songs now. And we're going to praise the God who is beyond all praising. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing together. Well, let's pray together. Oh Lord God, we do praise you. Lord, you are so worthy of our praise and more. And Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have to meet together like this. But we also thank you that we have each other. Lord, we know that many Christians are isolated around the world. Well, there are families who don't really know any other Christian families in their locality. Lord, we are so blessed to have each other. And I pray that we'd be grateful for that and to see the blessing that that is. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that loves one another. Lord, I pray that we'd be a church that encourages one another. Lord, that we would stir each other up to worship you and to live for you. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that praises you, a church that listens to you, a church that obeys you, a church that reflects you. Lord, help us to be that church. And Lord, we praise you that John, our pastor, is back. Lord, we thank you for the time of blessings, multiply blessings and spiritual refreshment. And Lord, we thank you for your hand on us as a church as well while he's been gone. Lord, we thank you that you are the ultimate good shepherd who cares for us and who never leaves us. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you'd help him, John, this morning as he comes and ministers to us again. Lord, I pray that you'd richly bless him and encourage him in that as he speaks to us. Lord, we pray all this for your honour and your glory. Amen. Well, just a few very quick notices. So firstly, home group is this Thursday. Your leader will be in touch with you in the next couple of days, God willing, if they haven't been already. If you're not in a home group and you'd like to be, do come and speak to myself or John, and we'll help you with that. Also, just a slight heads up, Tuesday the 23rd of July, we've got a quarterly church meeting. So if you remember, we've got a meeting on Tuesday the 23rd of July. And then just thirdly, we don't often do this for birthdays. We don't often announce them, but it's a special one today. Hilary Abbott is 50 today. So we celebrate with her. Happy birthday, Hilary. And we're very thankful for her. Well, we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3. It'll be up on the screen. It's also page 996 in the Church Bibles. 996 in the Church Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3. John's mainly focusing on verses 14 to 17, but we'll read the whole chapter as context for that. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jan and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. which persecutions I endured, yet from all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Well, we're going to sing again. It's a song that talks about the Word of God. We've just been reading the Word of God, and in a moment I'm going to read one of the verses. But it also talks about the nations. So we've been very much thinking about the nations this week, which is why John's chosen this song. But let me read verse 2. Lord, for that word, the word of life which fires us, speaks to our hearts and sets our souls ablaze, teaches and trains, rebukes us and inspires us. Lord of the word, receive your people's praise. And then Luke's going to come and do the children's talk after we've sung.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, this morning, I want to tell you how you are like a penny. And you're like a penny in two ways. I'm going to tell you how you can be like a penny in a third way as well. How would you reckon you're like a penny? Small, yeah. Well, maybe, yeah. That wasn't one of mine, but not quite this small, yeah. You're worth something very good.
You're an age like a number.
You're an age like a number, yeah. So there's a number on a penny. That's a good one, yeah. Well, Lydia, you've got one that I was going to say, but I'm going to start with a different one, and that is, we are like a penny. I'll tell you what, if you take a penny and pass the box along, take one each, and if you're really good, you might be able to keep it. Okay, so have a look at your penny, and what I want you to tell me is what's on your penny? Wasn't it Harvey? Go on, Henry. The Queen. The Queen's on one side, and then on the other side you might have there might be a couple of different ones that you've got. I think there's I can't think what it's called, the thing on the other side, and then also part of a shield, that sort of like a coat of arms as well, maybe, but. The Queen's head is on there, and it's stamped on there because the Queen, at the time that this penny was made, would have been in charge. So she was the monarch, and so she was the head of the Royal Mint, and so her head is stamped on there. What do you think that's got to do with it? How do you think you're like that? Any ideas? A bit of a difficult one. Oh, very good. Yes. Yeah. So Katie said, like Jesus has stamped on our lives. We are made in God's image. I don't know if you mind putting the slide up for us, please. So we're made in God's image. So we've got the stamp of God on us. Would someone like to read the verse? Yeah, go on then, Harvey. Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, so God created human beings in his image. So he made us like him. So like a penny's got a stamp of the Queen on it, we've got a stamp of God because we're made by God. We've got like a made by God label inside us. The other thing is, on your pennies, does it have a number on? You said, yeah? Well, what number is on your penny? One? Has anyone got anything different? Has everyone got one on it? Yours hasn't got one on it. What's yours got on it? You've got part of the shield, so if I gave you that one, is that one? Now you've got a number one. So no one's got anything different than number one, so we were all made the same, so you're all a number one. Okay, now, so that's two ways you're like a penny. Now what do you think of your pennies? What do they look like, those ones in particular that you've got? They are a circle, yeah. What about the state of them? Old, yeah, and so because they're old, what does that make them? They're kind of a bit dirty, aren't they? And that made me think of a third way we can be like a penny, or we are like a penny, because we're sinful. We're kind of dirty, aren't we? Our sins make our hearts dirty. But, and I'm hoping this is going to be successful, so you'll have to bear with me a bit, there is a way that we cannot be dirty. So if you guys want to come up, and, I tell you what, if I come down here, I'm going to give that a bit of a mix up, what I want you to do is take it in turns to dip your penny into this, and then we'll see what happens. Who wants to go first? Harvey, going to come up? There you go. Go on then, El, do you want to go in that one? Have a dip in there. If you want to, you could just kind of drop it in there, and then give it a... What's happening to your penny?
It's getting a bronzy colour.
So what's happening to the dirt? It's getting clean, isn't it? Do you guys want to come and have a go down this end? There you go, and there's another one there as well. So you could just, so you can drop it in and then scoop it up with a spoon if you like. Is it working? There you go, do you want some towels to dry it off? So it might not make it completely clean just at the minute. It might take a bit of time, and that's it. Drop it on there. There you go. Give that a wipe off then, Alice. Yeah, so have you all done it? Are your pennies looking a bit shinier now? Yeah, nice. Cool. So, oh, there's a penny in there. Okay. So the pennies are now much, much cleaner. All the dirt's come off them, haven't they? So what do you think that makes? How do you think we can, what does that make us think of? Yeah. Yes, that's right. And how do we do that? He did, didn't he? That's fantastic. Yeah, so Jesus died on the cross. And if we're like a dirty penny, aren't we? But if we're dipped in Jesus' blood, if you like, if we put our trust in Jesus, it's like we're being dipped in this vinegar and salt in there, and we're made clean, aren't we? And sort of like, well, as good as new if we leave it in there for long enough. And so that's how the third way we're like a penny. So we're made in God's image, we're worth something, and we're all worth the same. God made us all the same. But if we put our trust in Jesus, the dirtiness of us can be made completely clean. Brilliant. Well, thanks for listening. I'm quite pleased that I actually went to plan, because I was a little bit worried about that. So, excellent. That's great. So thank you very much for listening, guys. You can take your penny away.
Thanks, Luke. So, children, last week you were told that the Bible's a bit like a lolly, and you got a lolly. And then this time we're told we're a bit like a penny, and you get a penny. Children's thoughts are good, aren't they? Right, well, let's pray. We'll praise God for some of those things, and then there's a few other things to pray for as well. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are the maker of all things, and that you made us. And Lord, that we are made in your image. Lord, we feel such a sort of broken copy of you in so many ways. And yet, Lord, still we reflect you. And Lord, we thank you that we can be, through Jesus' blood, washed clean. And Lord, that somehow we can be made right, made perfect before you. And we thank you for that, because we cannot do it by ourselves. And Lord, I thank you that there is so much depth in the Bible, so much, with so many big things to get our head round, and yet there are also simple things that we can understand. And Lord, we thank you that your word is suitable for children, and it is suitable for adults. It is suitable for the educated and the uneducated. Lord, it's suitable for every single one of us, however we've come this morning. And I praise you for that. And I pray that you'd help us to really listen this morning as we hear more from your word. Lord, I really want to pray for our nation this morning. Lord, you know it's been a big week. New government. Lord, I do pray for them. Lord, we're commanded to do that in the Bible. So we do pray for them. Lord, we pray that you would bless everything that is good. And Lord, that you would stop anything that is not. Lord, I pray that you'd help them in their new responsibilities. But Lord, we especially thank you, Lord, that you are over all. Lord, that no one can sort of elect you out, as it were. Lord, I thank you that you are good. And Lord, I pray that ultimately, Lord, that we would always look to you. And that gives us great confidence, Lord, as governments change, as people change. Lord, we thank you that you do not. Lord, not only are you always in authority, but you are the God who never changes. And that is good news for us. And Lord, we thank you that as we look back over history, Lord, we see that you have raised up godly men and women to power and to responsibility. Lord, we think of people like Joseph and people like Daniel, who rose to such prominence and had such an impact on those nations for you. We think of people like Esther. We think of people like King David. Lord, people who had great influence on their nation. And Lord, we see in their stories how you raised them up. Lord, they are incredibly surprising stories. And yet, Lord, that's what you did. And Lord, we pray that you would do that again today. Lord, we thank you that there are members of Parliament who are Christians, who regularly have Bible studies, who are genuinely concerned about doing things well and for you, and who want to be servants. And we pray that you'd raise up more who care about what is right and good, who love your law, who delight in it, as we were thinking in the children's talk last week. Lord, I pray that we would be a nation that reflects you. Lord, we thank you for the past and for how in the past, Lord, this has been a nation where many people have followed you, and that this nation has been greatly blessed by your word. But Lord, we need that again. And so we pray for our nation now. Lord, we thank you so much for Hillary. Lord, we thank you for giving her 50 years of life. And I pray that you'd really bless her today. Lord, I pray that you'd especially be with her at the moment as she's broken her arm, and that makes things so tough. Lord, I really pray that you'd bless her richly in her soul, that you would encourage her and help her, and that today would be a special day for her. And Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that she has been to many of us here. So Lord, do bless her, and may it truly be a very happy birthday for her. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, we pray for Corrie as well. Lord, we thank you so much for helping her during her relay year, for everything that you've taught her, for the experiences, for the way she's been able to do things for you and your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you really bless her this week as she goes to Kosovo. Lord, I pray that you'd keep her safe. I pray that you would use her. I pray that you'd give her the words to say. But Lord, I also pray that you would teach her as well, Lord, that as she goes out, as she blesses them, Lord, that she too would be blessed in what she does. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of all nations. And so, Lord, do be with her as she goes there. Lord, we do pray as well, Lord, as YPs and camp are coming fast on the horizon. Lord, I do pray that you would be with us. Lord, I pray for the YPs and campers. Lord, we thank you that we've got a good number coming on both. I pray for them, Lord, that you would ready their hearts, that you would bless them as they start thinking about these things. Lord, I pray for us as leaders. Lord, I pray you'd help us in our preparation. Lord, it's a big responsibility. Lord, you know that. Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful in what we do, that we would do our best. And yet at the same time, Lord, I pray that we would have that ultimate trust in you, Lord, that knows that these things are in your hands, that knows that we can do nothing, especially spiritually, without your hand at work. And so, Lord, we beg, Lord, that you would bless us. Lord, that it may be a time of spiritual blessing and growth especially. But equally, Lord, we pray for safety. We pray for good weather. We pray for a good time. Lord, you know all these things we need. And we thank you that we can commit them into your hand. And we praise you for that. And Lord, again, I just pray for John now. Lord, as he comes up in a moment, Lord, I pray that you give him the words to say. Lord, that we may know that we're hearing actually from you and your word. And Lord, I pray that as we listen, Lord, that this would make a difference to our life, both as individuals and as a church. Lord, may it make an impact. May we see the goodness of your word this morning, I pray. In your name, amen. Well, the theme for this morning is continue in the word, continue in the word. We're going to sing How Firm a Foundation. The first two lines of this song read like this. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. So let's stand and sing when the music starts. So back in action after a wonderful period away. 11 Sundays without responsibility has been very nice. So you'll excuse me if I'm a little rusty in coming back. It has been a tremendous period, this time away from the front line, a sabbatical as we've called it, a time of multiplied blessings. It's been a lovely blend of freedom from responsibility, a study, conferences, time with family, holiday, so many blessings. It's all gone so very well, so much to be thankful for. So thank you for your interest, your support, your prayers over this period. The time in America, the conference and the time afterwards was a particular highlight of that period. So thank you all for giving us that opportunity of being away. Thank you especially for those who have borne a lot of responsibility to make it possible, for Mark and the elders and the deacons and many others who've done things during that period. Well, for my first Sunday morning back, I wanted to speak on the last few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. They're such pivotal verses, and it's been quite an emphasis, really, in the thoughts of the last few months. So I want to speak from it this morning. I want to read through the verses again. They're so significant. I'll read from verse 14 to 17 of 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Well, I want to start really with some simple words from the start of this passage. But continue, in verse 14. So it's addressed to Timothy, a youngish minister by the Apostle Paul, and he says, but continue. Perhaps you've heard and been influenced by the Bible's teaching for many years, since you were young, maybe. Some have here. Timothy had. On his mum's side especially, we find that out in chapter 1, his mum and his grandma had influenced him in the way of Bible teaching. And since then, Paul as well has been influenced by the Apostle Paul, God's messenger. And you see that from verse 10. You, however, have followed my teachings, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Some of us were brought up and have had a lot of experience of Bible teaching. Some of us weren't. I didn't come from a Christian home in the early years. I didn't come under the Bible's teaching. Some of you didn't. But we have since, and it's something that we've come under and heard and enjoyed. For some of you, perhaps very recently, you've started to hear things about God, things about Jesus from the Bible. Well, whether it's a long historic thing for you from childhood, further on as you grew through life, or in recent weeks and months, the message this morning is, but continue. Keep going. And it's addressed to him very personally here in verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, but as for you, continue in the things that you have learned. And you get that in these verses, in verse 10 as well. You, however, Timothy. And in the next chapter, verse
5. As for you, so this is quite personal, and I think we can sort of receive the force of that ourselves this morning. But as for you, a personal message, but as for you, continue. Continue in this way. Stay with this way. To feel the challenge of it. Perhaps you will, perhaps you do. I hope you will by the end. But continue the things that you have learned and been assured of. Well, continue in what? Continue in what? Continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. He's heard the apostles' teaching. That was part of it. But it's more foundational than that. It goes further down than that. Continue in the Word. You've heard, verse 15, from the sacred writings or the holy scriptures. You've heard from the Bible. Verse 16, all scripture, he goes on. Continue in the Word. You have believed the Word, you've built your life on the Word, you've shared the Word, and as you go forward, continue to believe the Word, continue to live your life according to the Word, continue to share the Word. It refers to the Old Testament writings, the Scriptures, that's what they were referred to as, the Old Testament writings. But Scripture also refers to the New Testament writings. To Peter chapter 3, Peter talking about Paul's teaching, and he says, as they do with the other scriptures, he puts Paul's teaching on a level with the Old Testament scriptures, Old and New Testament scriptures, the Word of God. And the message is continue in that Word. Believe it, live it, pass it on. Now you might wonder quite how I would come back from a time away, a sabbatical. Perhaps you thought I might come back leading things in a totally new direction. Perhaps you thought you'd come back with a sort of new improved pastor version 2. John Cowley, Mark 2, has come back to Crowborough. You thought I would come back with an armful of new ideas and plans and programs for us. And there's been blessing while I'm away, and I've thought about things, and there's been things to think about, and we want to be continually developing and growing, don't we, as individuals and as a church. But the general thrust is this. Continue. Continue in the things that you have learned. Continue in the Word. Believe the Word. Live out the Word. Pass on the Word. And in fact, that's been one of the encouraging things of the experience in America, in the build-up, and there we had a really helpful conference. It was 10 days altogether on aspects of church life. But one of the things that struck me most was this. We attempt to think about church life here, and we have done over the years, and we've often got our Bibles out and think, well, how should we approach things from a Bible point of view in the life of this church? And, you know, while I was away at a church in America, set up in America, which aims to be very deliberately living out the Word of God in the life of the church, one of the big notes I just kept finding is, well, yeah, that's how I see it. That's a conclusion I've come to. Yeah, I agree with that. That's how we see it where we are. And it is confirming and affirming and encouraging to continue in the Word, to seek to be Bible-based in the way in which we are. So, as a church, as individuals, continue in the Word. Perhaps it's a good message for you this morning. Continue despite the pressures. Now was a key moment. The environment for the apostle, for Timothy was tricky. It was not easy following God's word at this time. A lot weren't following, and a lot were trying to stop others from following what Jesus has taught. Verse 15 of chapter 1, Paul says, and you can feel a heavy heart as he writes, you are aware that all who are in Asia, and the region around me in Turkey, turned away from me. Chapter 3, we read, begins, but understand in these last days there will come times of difficulty. And he lists out the difficulties, and as if to say to Timothy, that's what you're going through. Verse 13, just before our passage, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So in an environment which was very difficult, the message is, but continue in the word. Don't be deflected. Don't be nudged off course. Our plane sat on the tarmac at Corfu Airport. There was an announcement. There would be 40 minutes delay from takeoff. There was just a widespread groan throughout the plane, as you can imagine. And the captain began to speak. The pilot began to speak. And he said he was asking for permission to fly a different route because, as he put it, there was weather over Italy. And he was asking to be able to go a different route. And so we waited, and after many minutes, the captain was speaking again, and the sense of what he said, I think, was that they didn't get permission to go on alternative routes, and they were going to take off, and they would go through the weather above Italy. Well, the weather above Italy wasn't too bad. It was cloudy, it was a little bit bumpy, but I don't think we had the seatbelt sort of signs on, so it wasn't too bad, and we had to continue on the route that was planned. Now, we may have difficulties now in life, in our thoughts and our experiences, or we may expect them or know that they are ahead. And we may be tempted to sort of change course, to avoid things, to take a different route, to conform, to copy everyone else, to take it easy, to leave the word of God to one side. Timothy must have felt pressurized to do that, but the message to him is, but continue. But keep the course. Go ahead, even if there is weather above Italy, even if there is weather in your life, keep going with the word. But continue through the change. There was a big change ahead for Timothy, and it sort of hangs over this letter. It is the horizon for him. Paul expects to be on his way out. You see that in verse 6 of chapter 4. He's in prison, we know that now. This is the last letter we have from Paul, and he says in verse 6 of chapter 4, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He's sort of at the gate, if you like. He's waiting to go. He's expecting soon to be taken to glory. And Timothy would be left alone without the direct influence of the Apostle Paul. And it's a sort of relay letter. He's handing on the baton to Timothy to keep going, even though he will be out of the race himself, even though he will be taken to glory. Keep going. Continue in the word despite the big change ahead. The change of circumstances. The loss of a big influence. And there are times, aren't there, in our lives when we lose a big influence. There is a change. Some of you, year six, coming to the end of year six. And perhaps you feel there's a big change that's going to happen. Maybe your school life has been quite enjoyable. Maybe it felt quite cosy at primary school, especially when you get in the upper year and you're the big guys around. And then that's going to be different as you move on. Maybe the school where you are now is sort of quite churchified, and some of that's quite good, and you hear things about God and about Jesus, and it's an encouraging situation to be in. Maybe it would be like that at a secondary school, but for some of you perhaps it won't, and God won't be mentioned, and it's going to be hard, and you've got this change ahead. Continue in the Word. We accelerate through life more. Some perhaps at year 11, moving on to other things. Some of you finish in sixth form maybe, got new horizons ahead, or finish in uni or some other circumstance. How are you going to go forward in this big change? Continue. Continue in the Word. Believe it. Live it out. Pass it on as you move into your new situation. Speaking of change, I came across this written recently by someone who's come to the end of a relay year of service with UCCF. And this is what they said as they move on, and it makes the point well. It's under a heading, Confidence in the Truth. If there's one thing relay has reminded me of, it is that the Word of God is perfect, powerful, essential and beautiful. Being able to study Hebrews, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 1 Peter, they're books of the Bible, has helped me hide his word in my heart. And because I remember and understand these truths written, I have more confidence in his words and that they are true for me. I can see my faith certainty has deepened. What a good way to go forward through a period of change into the next phase of life. Continue in the Word. To how you can go forward through the change, in the difficulties. Well, why should we? Why should we continue in the Word? Why should Timothy continue in the Word? Why should you continue in the Word? Well, in these verses, he gives three reasons. Three reasons to boost us and encourage us to go on in the Word. Because of. Continue in the Word because of its wisdom. This book makes people wise. It helps people to know the things that they really need to know. From this book, we get things that we can't get from anywhere else. And we won't be wise if we don't know it. Verse 15. Being acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise. Which are able to make you wise. If you want to be wise as you go through life, this book needs to be in you and working through you. There's one particular area of wisdom which is emphasized here, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible's not chiefly a rule book. It's a rescue plan. It's a book about relationship with God being restored. Sometimes newspapers, although they have less influence in our lives now, newspapers or websites, say that they have an exclusive story. It's something, an interview, it's a write-up that you can't get anywhere else. And so, you know, if you really want to know, you've got to access that website, you've got to buy that paper. It's an exclusive. It's only found there. And that is true of the Bible. The message of salvation is exclusive to the Bible and things that are built on and drawn from the Bible. So if you want to be wise for salvation, then you need to have the word and its message. It is a message which makes us wise to salvation. How? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The whole of the Bible points to Jesus. I was struck this week reading through Acts, as I've got to, and Acts 10 and verse 43. Talking of Jesus here, it says, "To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Restored relationship through Jesus, who died on the cross, received by us, by you, as you put your trust in Jesus. And if you want to be wise to salvation, be restored to God, have hope in front, have a deep sense of joy, know the truth, be as you were meant to be the cleaned up penny through the work of God, then you need to know God's word and you need to know the Saviour, the rescuer that it points to. I don't know if you're right with God, whether you have restored relationship. It's found through trusting in his Son. And if you're not sure if you have that, why not open one of the Gospels and read it for yourself? Or why not ask a Christian friend and say, would you mind reading with me through one of the Gospels? You know, perhaps we could do a chapter a week. Maybe over coffee, could we talk about it? Or we could just have a chat or explain some messages. I could do with somebody to help me so that I'm wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So, because of his wisdom, you've got to stick with the message, haven't you? You've got to stick with the word. Continue in the word. But he gives a second reason. Because of its source. And this is so important, and this is so foundational. There is no other book like the Bible. There is nothing else compared to the Holy Scriptures. And that's because of where it's from. Its source, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. That's quite a phrase. That's so fundamental. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's God breathed. It's his word. It's from him. Not just some of it, not just Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is God breathed. That means he sort of dumped it from the sky like a big leaflet airdropped down so that we had his finished word. And God uses instruments. He uses people. Real people said and wrote the things that are in the Bible, but God was at work through them by his Spirit in order to bring about his completed word. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us this in some very important verses, verse 20. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it's true and reliable. Jesus said in his prayer, "Your word is truth." So it is beyond us grasping how tremendous it is that the God of the universe, the almighty, glorious God, communicates. And he communicates to us chiefly by means of his word. all scripture is breathed out by God. Not just was breathed out by God, it is a living word which communicates to us today from God. And when we read it here, and when you open its pages at home, when you hear it taught in your youth group, and when you're thinking through an issue and you're trying to track down biblical principles, you have the God-breathed word in front of you. It's worth sticking with. It's worth continuing in because of its source. Lastly, thirdly, a couple of applications at the end, but the last reason here, because of its usefulness. Because of its usefulness. Continue in the word because of its usefulness. The Bible's not just some old history book interested to archaeologists and people who just live in the past. It is useful. It is profitable. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It tells us what to believe and what not to believe. Teaching, reproof. It shows us how not to approach life and how to approach life. Correction and training in righteousness. Without it, we won't be equipped. With it, we will be well equipped, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. When you go on a journey, you decide what to take with you, don't you? When we went to Corfu for our holiday at the end of the period, we had a little bit bigger case than sometimes, just one case between the two, 26 kilograms. We had to weigh up, that's how much that was our allowance. We had two cabin bags as well. We tried to make use of those. You'll be amazed at what we end up packing. Perhaps we're a bit unique. Maybe we're a bit stupid in some of the things that we take with us, but we had some cereal. We have boxes of cereal. We have four boxes of cereal we took with us. We like our breakfasts. We had tea and coffee. We had two portable chairs. We had a beach tent. Had a snorkel. Had clothes. And we had books. Lots of books. We had our passport. We had our wallet. Our glasses. And the items we took were of different degrees of usefulness. So the cereals all went, so that was quite useful, though it took up a fair bit of space. The chairs actually came in handy a few times, so we were glad we packed them. This beach tent, it was quite a squash to get this beach tent into our case. We got it in there, and it was just too hot to use, so that was really a waste of space and effort. The snorkel stayed dry, didn't weigh much, but it took up a fair bit of space. Some books weren't read, others were read daily. Different degrees of usefulness. The passport, the wallet with the driving license in, without which we couldn't use a hire car that we booked. The phone with our boarding passes on. Well, they were essential. We had to have them. Some footwear, some clothes. There were things that were essential for our journey. And the Bible is essential for the journey of life. It's not a beach tent or a snorkel. It's a passport or a phone with a boarding pass or the wallet with the driving license in. You can't properly go ahead without it. You can't function without it. It's just hard to do what you need to do without the Bible and its truth, the living word from God, living and breathing and informing your life. It's the sort of key tool, if you like, in the toolkit. So as you go ahead in your journey of life, are you going ahead, if you like, without the passport, without your boarding pass, without your wallet? Oh, you've got the beach tent and you've got the snorkel, you've got things that you enjoy and quite like, which may or may not be useful, but have you left the passport behind? Have you having nothing to do with your phone and your wallet? And this message is continue in the Word, with the Word. Have the Word with you on your journey. Believe its truth. Live out its teaching. Be led to its Lord. Pass on its message. Continue in the Word. That's the thrust of this morning and the passage. And I just want to say in closing this. It's a message for us as a church. It's a message for us as a church. Continue in the Word. I hope, I believe that we are seeking to be a Bible-based church. And we want God's Word shaping us, influencing us, what we do. And that's what we need to continue in as we go forward. For it to affect our life and priorities and outlook and beliefs and practices. God's living Word. For it to shape everything about what we do, including our services. I believe it does and it should. One of the things that I read in recent months, which I thought was very helpful, was just about church services and what church services are about. And it put it very simply in five things. It's about reading the Word, singing the Word, praying the Word, speaking the Word, and showing the Word by the ordinances of communion and baptism. A Bible-based approach to life as a church. I think that's the page we're on, isn't it? And the message is continue in the Word as a life of a church and grow in it, develop in it. But then, as individuals, come away this morning, hopefully encouraged you, me, to continue in the Word, to love it, to love God's Word, to be shaped by it, to feed on it, to delight on it. It's the Word of our Heavenly Father who loves us and is so wise. And we want to just drink in His Word. We want to know it better. We want to live it out. And how will that work out? Well, it will work out in your life how? Well, by prioritizing being here or somewhere where you hear the Word spoken. By making some time for it during the day to be reading it and taking it in, even though sometimes that's difficult and you don't always want to do it. It will be influenced or be worked out by God's Word sort of percolating through our life and mind. One of the services I heard, and we're blessed to go to lots of services, or if we couldn't do, when we're in Corfu in the evening, listen to some services. And one of the ones was on meditating on God's Word from Psalm 1. And it was on this line. It was really helpful to me to think about, you know, how can we have God's Word, how can it be a regular part of life? And the speaker was just saying, it's like, you know, like your phone is a regular part of your life. How many times do you refer to your phone during the day? There is, but for some of you lots, you know, just instinctively, you get a free moment, who's called? What's the latest news? How can we have God's Word more influence in us so that it's not just once a day that we think about it? Be good to think about that. Home groups might think about it this week, those who go to home groups. How can God's Word percolate the day? Well, one of the things that I found helpful in thinking about it is thinking, well, if I look at my phone a lot of times during the day, can I engineer that so that sometimes it also makes me think of God's Word? So I decided in the last week or two how long the practice would carry on. I hope it would carry on, but to, from my Bible reading in the morning, just to pick out a phrase or a verse. I usually do that and write it somewhere anyway, but to pick out a smaller part and put it on a post-it and put it in my... Perhaps you haven't got one of these flat things for your phone. You're one of these ones that's a bit more difficult. But maybe there's a way you can think about that. So now, not every time I have to say, but a proportion of times through the day, I open to check something and just briefly refreshed by a highlight from the morning's reading. Maybe something like that might help you. But think of other ways in which God's word can percolate in your life. So, this morning's theme, don't you think, of grand importance, because it's wisdom, it's source, it's usefulness, to continue in the word. Believe it, live it, pass it on. These verses are so important, I'm going to read them again as we close. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Well, shall we sing together our last song now, which starts in a way very in keeping with our message this morning. Your word alone is solid ground, the mighty rock on which we build. Heavenly Father, we know we get too used to your word, and we are sorry for that. We thank you for the wonder that you have communicated and given us your truth, for the wisdom it brings and its usefulness in our lives. And we pray that whatever the pressures and whatever the changes, that you might help us to continue in your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be convinced of its wonderful truth, to live out its principles and wisdom, and to pass it on to others. We pray that the note that's been struck this morning from this key passage is one that will carry us and do us good. Amen.